Thank you for stopping by Living Waters World Online, the place where the river of God flows. Pastors Lawrence and Kimberly Richardson invite you on a journey to change the church, challenge the colleges, and charge into the community. The following message is from Brother Robert and Sister Deborah Blanding.
Amen. To amen. Release, amen, this pulpit, this sacred desk, amen, to members of this local assembly that are very dear to our hearts, amen. Brother Robert and Sister Deborah, amen, they've been here for a little while now, amen, and they know our heart, amen, they know our desire. And a few weeks ago, I asked them, would they consider talking to us, amen, not preaching to us, but talking to us, consider parenting and mentoring, amen, in the now present postmodern age in which we live. And they said, amen, just automatically, yes, we'll do it, whatever you want us to do. And so this morning, amen, I get the privilege of introducing them, amen, to this great congregation. Amen. They are humble servants of God. They walk humbly before the Lord. They walk in a richness. They walk in a boasting in the Lord. They walk in a way that I can mark them and I can look at them and say, hey, when I grow up, amen, I wouldn't mind being, amen, just like them. When I was thinking about introducing, thought about getting their pedigree and all of their accomplishments, amen, but you know me, I'm not impressed by those things. And then I began to pray, and this is the scripture that the Lord gave me, amen, as I was thinking about introducing them, and it'll bring them forth in how they'll speak to us today. Amen. And I pray, amen, Racine, please, if anybody in the lobby have children, they need to hear what is going to be said, so could you ask them to please, amen, clear the lobby for me this morning, amen. I write unto you, children, because your sins are forgiven. They're forgiven you for his name's sake. It says, I write unto you, fathers, because you have known him who is from the beginning. I write unto young men because you have overcome the wicked one. I write unto you, little children, because you have known the Father. I have written unto you, fathers, because you have known who is from the beginning. And I have written unto you, young men, because you are strong. And the word of God abides in you. And you have overcome the world. I want us to hear clearly today, seasoned voices to this thing called parenting. Each and every one of us have a part to play in a child becoming an adult that returns unto the Lord. He said, I call you young ones because you're strong. I called unto you older ones because you know the way. This morning, I'm going to ask you to stand on your feet. Amen. And receive Brother and Sister Robert Blanding. Amen. As they come in their own way. Amen. As they come speaking to us of how to raise godly children and how to mentor, amen, the next generation. Living Waters, would you receive them? Amen. With the clapping of your hands.
Good morning.
Pastor, we would just like to thank you for just thinking about us to even give us this honor to speak to the congregation. It's just truly a privilege and an honor. And it's like, wow, we went through all this for such a time as this.
And I just, ooh, okay. I'm not used to talking in the mic. But I'd like to say thank you also, Pastor, for looking at us. We know that we are here for a reason. And we take it serious that where we're sitting. And we love what we've been receiving. And the biggest thing for me is that what I'm receiving, I can give. Because the number one thing in my heart concerning my family are my children, adults, and my grandkids. Number one now. My mind has changed. So I thank you. I honor you as a man of God. I thank God for you, and I thank God for the congregation that's willing to sit and listen. And I thank God for emboldening me to say yes. Bible says, be prepared to give every man a reason for the hope that's in me. I'm not ashamed of what I'm going to say to you. I'm going to tell you the truth, how it really is. Have been in my life. And God has made a difference, tremendous difference in my life.
Just tell me you like that.
Talk like this. Okay. All right, so you can. Father, in the name of Jesus, we bless you today and we thank you, Father, that our protocol is naming you first in every single thing that we do. And we lift our hands to you because our trust, our hope, and our faith and our future is in you and our children, our sons and daughters. And we pray, Father, that what we say today will come from you with clarity to be a blessing to your body. In the name of Jesus, we pray.
I would like to just introduce ourselves again. I'm Deborah Robert Blanding. We're coming up on 40 years of marriage this year. Grace, glory to God, 40 years. It's truly by the grace of God that we stand here. In the 40 years, we've been through a lot when it comes to the children, but one thing, God has always just been so faithful. And one thing, when you're seeking the Lord, in my experience, my husband and my children has caused me to go deeper. They've caused me to build that relationship with God. They've caused me to seek him because I had to go to God for the answers. I realized I had no answers. We came into our marriage. I had a son. Robert had two daughters. And 5 months after we got married, we got saved. And in getting saved 5 months after we got married, it was like our world was turned upside down because we realized we didn't know a thing. So as we were raising our children, we ourselves were growing in the Lord. But the Lord was just there. You know, and the first thing he spoke to us was, train up a child in the way. And so then the children who were used to doing other things had to learn a new way as we were learning that new way. And that was the three older ones. The two younger ones were born into salvation. And it's just been the grace and the love of God through his word, because his word will keep you, but you have to get in the word. You have to have that relationship with the Father, because the enemy comes. Because as our relationship was getting stronger, the enemy was using the children to bring discord in our marriage, discord in the home, you know. So we had to fight, and we had to learn to fight the enemy with the word of God. So today I can stand here 40 years later, stress-free, blessed, and know that I am victorious.
Okay. What my wife said was true. And what I've learned in our marriage, in raising our kids, because we've always had the desire to raise our kids the right way, but we never thought about the steps that we were to be ordered in raising our kids the right way. We did the good things. You know, my idea was a good father, good husband, was work, and provide for my family, protect my family, make sure I bring the bread home, and sit down with my wife, which I didn't do. Didn't sit down with my wife on everything concerning the family and the kids, just keeping it real. The good thing was is that we were both sealed in the Lord. It's amazing how you can be sealed in the Lord, reading and studying his word, and going into your own private corner, talking to the Lord all day long, and miss what God's plan is for you and your family. Just background for me, I grew up in a family. My father and my mother, they were Christians. Just keeping it real again, my mother raised me in the faith. But my father gave me an example how to walk in the faith, but my mother was the word person. She was the person who came there and kept me from walking out the house with that gun in my hip. I didn't know how she found out, but I had it. So I know she was in the spirit all the time. I got 32 stitches in my head as a 16-year-old. Now, my mother spoke to me, went to church, but still there was another world outside there for me. And I had to compete in that world once I left the house. But what I recognized that my mother was always focused on raising us up and planting that word inside of us. And her being connected to God in the spirit spoke to her some things that I didn't just blow my mind how she saw me coming down the steps, concealed, and going out there dumb with a weapon at 14 years old. That always baffled me, and that caused me to trust my mother from that point because I knew God was speaking to her. And the reason why I'm saying that is this. What we've learned to do is to trust God and to walk in the spirit, listening to God out of the words that we receive. Going to church every day and also listening to advice of those that are in the church. I'm not sure if I want to say this now, but I said in my mind what I was going to say in the end, but I'm going to say it now. It's important for you to be connected to God in the spirit, that is hearing his voice. God will speak to you. He spoke to our hearts. That's how we're kept. And he will actually direct you exactly what you're supposed to do concerning your kids. Exactly. I was in a congregation and congregations and among men in the church. Bless God. Not condemning the church, but God is a relationship, and we've learned that you got to have for yourself your personal relationship with him. So that I would hear, and I grew up in a house where you are seen and you don't speak. You know, you get quiet when you get around adults. And capital punishment was the order of the day. Now, I'm not saying I got tore up to pieces, but I got it. And so that was a method of communicating how to walk right, but it was without instruction, perfect instruction. And you know, our perfect instruction comes from the Lord. That's one thing that I have been waking up to now as a grandparent. I see that. I understand what the most important thing for me and for fathers and husbands to do. The single most important thing that I've discovered is nothing more important, nothing greater than a man, a husband, ministering to your children. How do you do that? Did you want to say something? How do you do that? Well, first of all, you know that Psalm 1, we all know the Psalm 1. I think y'all know Psalm 1, right? All right, so
what's that?
Okay, Psalm 1 is says, blessed is the man that walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, ungodly counsel. Now, I got to tell you that sitting among men, even in the church, and even from the pulpit, not condemning the pulpit at all. Because, my Lord, you know, when the man of God tells you instruction, He's giving it to you out of God's word. But then we know that the word does what? The word gives life, right? I mean, the spirit gives life, but the letter killeth, but the spirit gives life. So that let me know that I got to hear the word, but I got to walk in the spirit of the word in specific ways of managing the affairs of my household. What happens in that guy's house, it might not matter to happen with effectiveness in your house. I learned that. I learned that with my young son. He was the youngest. And a lot of the grieving points that my kids experienced didn't experience that by observation how I was managing and directing my younger boy. At 12 years old, I find out that this guy is smoking pot. And we're telling him not to do that. But there's something that I missed. I recognize there's something that I miss as the husband, as the father, as my, and I'm going to share that with you, as he began to grow, then the world really got closer to our home through him. And there was an outright disrespect. I mean, it was to a point where if you don't do what I say, then you got to go. Well, that spirit never entered into my thoughts or my mouth. I mean, there was a situation actually where I had to hit him. Dad, pop, and son. And the police had to come. That is because, and I recognize, you know, we're going to make mistakes as adults, trying. But in those mistakes, you'll have a time and an opportunity to listen to the voice of God. You're going to examine the thing that you, because everything that you do has an outcome. Here I am, fisticuff with my son. Now, he told me, well, Dad, I respect that. I couldn't understand that. So that's just let you know how far things had gone with him departing from the things that I have been attempting to teach him. But I'm going to show you what my error is, what I believe my error was, that I recognize now. And so as he's getting older, I'm always ministering to him, always telling him about the Lord. And now he doesn't want to hear it because now he's formulated his own opinion about the world, him, and the Word. Now, one thing I will say about Austin, there is his name, that's so you'll meet him. And he'll be here one day. I shared this with him one evening. And I mean, I'm kind of like wearing him out as he grows up. He's 30 years old now. He has a set of twins that are 5. And I'm wearing him out with the Word, just sharing with him Jesus and sharing with him the advice that, look at the results of the advice that you've not taken by your mother. She's probably the most person with sound wisdom. She has a spirit of wisdom in our family. I got to say it. I love to just sit and hear him giving it to him. And I know that's God because she's in the Word day and night, as Psalm 1 says. Day and night, she meditates in that. And I said to Austin, I made myself vulnerable to him. I spoke about my weakness, that I myself could miss it. I would be in jeopardy if I don't pay attention to what God is telling me in his Word, even me. And you know what he told me? He said, no way, Dad. Ain't no way. No way that could happen. There was a turning point in my life with Austin. Austin was, I guess, the biggest point of rebellion that we had, the youngest one. I remember dropping him off at a studio. He plays music, or what do you call this? Studio music. And that's just what he likes to. We wanted to get him in piano. He has a gift and a skill, but he wanted a studio. So one night, I dropped him off, and again, he's leaving, and it just comes up in me to minister to him. And I said to him, Austin, I love you, son. You know I love you. And if you die and if you don't have Christ in your life, it's going to hurt me. Now, you know it's going to hurt me I said, but. And then I read to him Revelation, how God will wipe away my tears and the things that are in this life I won't remember anymore. And all those things will pass away. And so there's sorrow that I would have if that happened in this life. Now, I'd be in the kingdom forever. And at the end of that conversation, he said to me, he said, Dad, of all the conversations we ever had, that was the best conversation that I've had with you. And from that day forth, now, he's not what you call a guy, a saint that's walking around preaching the gospel, walking in the gospel, but he does call on God. And he makes a confession. I looked at the post that he does on Facebook. I said, that's a sign. My wife saw a vision of him in a purple coat. Royalty. She's keeping the promise in the word, and that's what we're standing on. And so right now, today, we have five kids. Three of them are bona fidely walking in the fire of God. Two of them know how to call on God. And we have no regrets as far as where we've been standing in God concerning to them. And I'll share with you a little later what I understand about what my role, what I ought to have done. Now I see clearly now. And it's the thing that I'm sharing with my children for them to get an understanding, because there is a point that we can miss. It's kind of like, well, I'm going to let you speak. You want me to go on? It's kind of like, and I discovered this, and you know the scripture on the 1 Corinthians love scripture. You know, we read that scripture, and some parts of it we quote, you know, part about the tinkling brass, and then the part about, you know, if you give your life to be burned. But down through that scripture, speaks about love, patience, speaks about believing, hoping, you know, all those things in that verse, those things are what love really is. And I realize that. And there are, if you miss any one part of that, you might be missing out on the thing that God is trying to connect you to give you a release for deliverance in your family, because it's all inclusive. That's why we got to study the word night and day, day and night. Meditate on it. And I recognize, I'm getting ready to say what I was going to say for the end, but I'm going to hold that. I'm going to let my wife share. But go ahead, Deborah.
Oh, to what you were saying in reference to our son Austin, when you're walking and the Lord show you that you're in error, you do have to apologize to your children. You have to let them know that you missed it. And they can respect you more knowing, oh, Ma didn't have a problem saying she was sorry. You know what? I was sorry how I yelled at you. I was sorry what I said to you. You know, we have to learn to be vulnerable to our children, let them know that we understand. Again, we were teenagers. You know, we weren't always saved. So, you know, our conversations with them, you know, today, I can't say I know what y'all are going through, because I don't. But when our kids were coming through, you know, I was letting them know, yeah, I was a teenager. I know the things that you can get involved in and, you know, the peer pressure and things like that. But there is another way. And so once they come from the precious babies to go into that teenage thing, then, yes, the relationship changes. And it's more of a talking relationship with them. It's more of a, you know, letting them know you understand them. They're there for you because you want them to come to you. Because, again, that's a time when they're seeking advice. And we don't want them going into the world with the wrong advice, because that's what they're going to get. So once you start building that relationship up with them so they can feel free to come to you, even though, you know, you might not want to hear it, but, you know, they were coming to me and they were saying whatever. But I had to stay there with a straight face, well, I don't agree with this. When it came to the sexual issues, things that they were telling me that they were hearing and things that was going on, then I had to give them the biblical. So that's where, you know, the being in the Word, you know, and that's where the Lord would keep us, you know, with me, with them. We had Bible study in the morning before they would go to school. We would talk about the issues that they were dealing with. You know, we can't act like we haven't been there. So they have to know that we've been there. You know, we've been there. We've been there. You know, some of the people have been there with people smoking. You know, people getting high. People cursing. People having sex. You know, so those are the things that we had to have open conversation about on a daily basis. You know, and let them know that we're not afraid to talk about it. You know, if you want to talk about it, let's sit down. Let's talk about it. What is it you want to know? And just be upfront with the biblical, you know, because, again, one thing they knew, we stood biblically. They did not see that change. So, again, when the enemy was trying to come through the house, he was trying to break the union between Robin and I. So we had to show them that we were a strong front, and you will not have victory in this situation, you know. So that was our stand. So today, as adults, you know, they know, and that's what my son Austin, you know, he respects his father to the highest. He says, I don't respect no man the way I respect my father. And again, when you're training, it's over repetitive, over and over and over. It's certain things you just have to constantly say, over and over. But they will get it. They will look at you stone-faced like, what? Like they're not listening, but believe you me, they will get it. Because the word is life. And that seed is being planted. And even though you may not see them walk in it, my oldest son left home at 16, went to stay with my parents because he could not deal with the rules of the house. And broke me to no end because I knew once he left this covering here, wow, because I knew my parents were not able to raise him the way that I want to. So the enemy just used him to become very difficult, you know, just didn't want to do anything, went out there making major mistakes. And my prayer was, Lord, the devil cannot have his life. Because he was standing on a corner selling drugs at a time where we were hearing, you know, people getting shot. I said, oh, no, devil, he will learn the consequences of his ways, but you cannot have his life. By that time, I knew my authority in the Lord. And it was like, oh, no, you will not. And I pray for these young boys because, again, they have no one praying for them. A lot of them that are losing their lives the way that they are. No one is standing in the gap for them in their home life. I had read on Facebook that really touched me. It was about a 17-year, well, he's a man now, but he was 17 years old. He went to jail. And he said, when he went to jail, he said, I did a most dangerous thing. I picked up a book. He said, and he realized he enjoyed reading. And he said, no one has ever said to him, oh, you can be a doctor. Well, you could be a lawyer. And today he's a lawyer. But I thought about that, Lord, we must speak into these children's lives because they need that. We have the word of life. We have the word. So we have to speak those words to them, even in their rebellion. And today, my oldest son, in church, getting ready to be ordained as a deacon. You know, I mean, the Lord has just kept his word throughout it. I mean, we have just been up and down with 5 children. You know, everyone's different. But then the blessing is we had one, our oldest daughter, Angie, obedient child. And it was time for her to go to college. I was at home. I was a homemaker. Robert was working. And I said, Lord, a mind is a terrible thing to waste. I said, we don't have the money for her for college, but she has to go to college. The midnight hour, she had gotten a scholarship to go to Roland Park Country School. So we thanked the Lord for that. So all these schools wanted her, but they weren't given a good enough financial package where we could. Well, I had received a call from Dr. Rabowski, who was on the board at Roland Park Country School, and he was ahead of the program over at University of Maryland, the Meyerhoff program. Well, that year was the very first year they opened that program for females. So I said, thank you, Lord, you answered my prayer. So she received a full ride from that program. So the Lord just answered. He just came in. But again, you just have to keep that unified front, you know, and you know, with your husband and covering your house and just letting them know you standing and letting the devil know what he will not do. So once you learn your authority in the Lord, you let him know what you will not do with my children.
We hope you've enjoyed this message from Living Waters World Online. If you were blessed by this message or know someone who will be blessed by this message, please click the link below for more information on how to receive the full-length copy. We hope you are encouraged, and please remember, this is the place where the river of God flows.